Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about tax increment financing.
Okay.
We got a question from a listener.
Okay.
A listener named Hartley. Hartley wrote that he appreciates that we both ride bicycles, which is true.
That is true.
At least one of us bicycled here today. Did you bicycle when you went
Yes, I went to the dentist. I rode
my bike. So we both bicycled
here today.
All right.
Almost every day I ride my bike, yes.
Sure.
Unlike you, I do not bike ride once the snow has fallen.
Yeah, you don't have that obsession. So Hartley asks about the reported roughly $36 million spent on the Divvy program in Chicago. This is the bike share program. And that number is as of last spring, 2016.
Yeah.
He cites in this reporting that about $7.2 million consisted of funding that came from the city of Chicago. And the rest of it is from federal and other sources.
Mm-hmm.
And some portion of that city funding came from tax increment financing.
Yes.
And I couldn't find the amount specifically that's tax increment financing. But Hartley's wondering about your reaction generally to tax increment financing of Divvy and bicycling infrastructure.
Well, thank you for the question. My attitude is that this is another example of the dishonesty of the program. Remember, the money is discretionary. It flows into these bank accounts. The mayor's free to spend it however he wants. And one of the reasons he wants to keep it there is precisely this reason. If he wants to expand the Divvy program, we think it's a good idea to have a Divvy program, then he could just take the money out of the TIF's slush fund, petty cash, take it from petty cash, and take care of the Divvy, all right? And so that way he could pretend as though this Divvy stand magically appeared by virtue of his fiduciary wizardry, when in fact it's just paid for with the cash that's piled up in a slush fund. So as a completely idealistic reformer, I believe this is a terrible way to run a city. As a pragmatic, practical realist, I believe that this is a better expenditure of our public dollars than, let's say, using the money to build the Marriott Hotel or DePaul a basketball arena, some of the more absolutely insane expenditures from the TIF program.
Over there by McCormick Place.
Yes, by McCormick Place. But I would say that if we're going to have a truly reformed government, and I laugh at the preposterous notion, then every year there should be a Divvy allowance part of the budget where we set aside X amount of dollars for Divvy. And so people can know, okay, this is exactly where the money's coming from.
Just put it in the budget.
Put it in the budget. But they don't want to put it in the budget. They want to have the slush. It's such a great program for the mayor's political interests that he's going to fight to keep it the way it is and do things like fund, what was it, $7 million, did he say?
$7 million of the roughly $36 million spent on Divvy is not from TIF, it's from city funds, but it's not clear how much of that is TIF.
If you go through the TIF annual reports, which is a laborious process I wouldn't recommend to anybody, but you'll see here and there, this TIF is spending like $200,000 for Divvy. I mean, you could see where individual TIF accounts are diverting to the Divvy program.
If any listeners are interested in doing that accounting and letting us know what the totals are, we'd be happy to receive
yes,
that information.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's talk about another slightly bigger diversion, if you will. You wrote about the Department of Fleet and Facility Management Facility.
Yes.
You wrote an article that appeared in the Reader on September 14th, 2016, and you wrote about the imminent move of the large Department of Fleet and Facility Management facility over by North Avenue and Chicago River to a facility on the south side.
67th and Wentworth.
And you wrote about the fact that both sites are in a tax increment financing district.
Yes. At the heart, this column shows the inequity of the program. You're taking a fleet facility that stores garbage trucks by and large, so it's owned by the city and therefore is property tax exempt.
It's not just that. It's a huge repair facility.
It's also a repair facility, but
But inside, it was a former steel manufacturing facility, and it's huge.
It's huge.
Cavernous.
18 acres, yeah. This particular point that I'm making is that it's tax exempt.
Because it's city property and doesn't generate any property taxes.
Right. City doesn't pay property taxes to itself. It's exempt from that. So when you move it out of the north side and you sell that land, that land, whoever owns it, will start paying property taxes on it. Whatever developer is putting up whatever development scheme will start paying property taxes there. And as a result, that TIF kitty, and this gets into the inequities that we were discussing earlier.
It's going to be huge.
Will be huge. There'll be a lot of money to pay for infrastructure.
Because that's prime Riverside property.
Prime Riverside property. And the alderman that I talked to gave a very conservative estimate that it'll increase the yield by 80%. So let's use his conservative projections. It would go from roughly like 7.5 million to 14 million a year, something like that. So that's a lot of money.
What is the 7.5 million?
The annual collection of money
in that TIF district?
That TIF was about 7.5 million last year. So if it goes up 80%, it would go up to around 40.
Got it. Because there is some private property in that TIF district.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Hideout.
Like the Hideout, right. These are all projections. We don't know. And I know you know this from your own independent journalism. It's very difficult to do projections of what a TIF district will collect because there's so many variables in it.
Because you have to project the assessed value of the property yet to be built.
The point is, a lot of money will flow into there, and there'll be a lot of money for the north side to play around with infrastructure, traffic lights, whatever they want to do with it.
How old is the TIF district?
I believe it's 17 years old. So if they really want to make good on it, they're going to have to extend it, which I presume they will. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're moving the garage and the maintenance facility to the south side. It'll be tax exempt there. So there'll be no money flowing on the south side. So the north side will be getting like $14 million a year in TIF funds to play around with. And the south side will get zero.
Is the site that it's going to currently private property?
No, the site it's going to is the former site of the Kennedy King College. So it doesn't pay any money in property taxes.
So that will continue to be tax exempt.
Yeah. So the south side will get zero and the north side will get $14 million. And this exemplifies just the inequity, unfairness of using TIF as a citywide economic development tool. Some neighborhoods benefit, some neighborhoods don't. And I guarantee you that alderman, the second ward, Brian Hopkins, won't want to give up his TIF money because his ward needs it. Everybody needs it.
He's due to TIF largesse. So
he's going
to
learn all about it. He'll be like Walter Burnett saying, don't give up my money.
Well, it could have been worse, right? It could have been that the city moved the fleet facility to private property that it then bought and then converted to tax-free. That would have been worse.
That would have been worse. That's exactly what they did, by the way, with the DePaul basketball arena and the Marriott Hotel.
They bought private property.
Right. Bought private property. So we're losing property tax dollars in the future. The exact opposite of the program. Why'd you get me going on that?
It'll be owned by the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority.
Yeah, it is. And it's property tax exempt. So the city is spending property tax dollars to lose property tax dollars. And the whole point of the TIF program is to do an investment now so that you grow the base and get more property tax dollars in the future. And the only reason they get away with it is because there's just astounding ignorance about the program. And that's why it's so successful as a political tool. And that's why I'm obsessively writing about it for 10, 12 years. And you and I have been talking about it for like 7 years.
Are you aware of any reason of why now for that facility, given that the TIF district is as old as it is, 17 of 24 years age, why are they doing this now?
There has been an initiative by the mayor to sort of hasten the conversion of the industrial corridor that runs along the north branch of the Chicago River around North Avenue from industry, manufacturing, warehouses, etc., to residential, commercial, and high tech. This is a way to facilitate that. The city's taking an active role in this. You're moving this big, huge 18-acre maintenance storage facility out of there, and that frees up for development, which puts more pressure on the other existing industries to get out of town.
Now, I'm getting that. This is sort of a cascading development effect, because this north of there is the former Finkel Steel site right along the river also. And
that's
so this
correct.
Is just like essentially contiguous riverfront property.
Yeah, we discussed this.
Yeah, a little while ago.
If the city has an economic development vision, if you could use such a word with the city of Chicago, it would be to transform this area or convert it from industry to residential, commercial, and like high tech. That's Mayor Rahm's big plan. And so this is a step in that conversion process.
And from their standpoint, a logical one.
If you take the notion of highest and best use being the governing factor in planning decisions, then this would be a logical one. But that would divorce yourself from the consequences of the plans you have here on the rest of the city. And that's, of course, where, as always, the city of Chicago falls short.
Ben, that's all we have time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, we always welcome your questions and comments and your suggestions for future interviews. Our Twitter handle is CHIGOVT. Our Facebook handle is InsideGov, that's G-O-V. You can always email us via comment@shigov.com. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.